Today's Old Testament reading is taken from Leviticus 19, verses 9 to 15. You can find on the Pew Bible on the page 85. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord, your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud your neighbor or rob him. Do not hold back the wages of a hired man overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, reading from chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." This is the word of God. Amen. Back in the days when we were living in our old house, we woke up one morning to find that our car had been stolen. When I stepped out the door that day, I found a big empty space where our car should have been. I remember thinking, "That's strange. I could have sworn I left it here last night." My puzzlement soon turned to chagrin when I realized somebody had taken it. We called the police, and in due course, an officer arrived. With a definite air of world weariness, the police officer sat down at our kitchen table and opened his notebook. He then began asking a series of questions that made it clear that we were the first suspects. Once he'd established that we had no motive for stealing our own car, he leaned back in his chair and he shook his head. "I don't know what I'd do if somebody messed with my stuff," he said. "I think I'd kill." I'd be lying if I said I didn't find this statement a bit unnerving, coming as it did from someone licensed to carry a gun. It was a different and much happier police officer who phoned me later that day to tell me that they'd found our car. It had been abandoned by the side of the 401 out near Oshawa. After it was towed to a body shop in Thornhill, the insurance company had me go and look at it to help assess the damage. The guy at the body shop was supposed to give an estimate of the cost of repairing it. And he wanted me to point out all the damage that the car thieves had caused. The exterior of the car actually didn't look that bad, except that it seemed pretty obvious that the car had been driven through a farmer's field. The underside was completely covered in mud. The fenders were damaged, and there were dents in various places. The guy from the body shop wanted me to identify which dents were new. I said, that one, and that one. He said, what about this one on the hood? I said, no, that was there before. He looked at me quizzically and said, you know, 9 people out of 10 would have said that was caused by the thieves too. And what he was telling me is that even victims of theft are sorely tempted to do a little stealing of their own. In this case, stealing the cost of undeserved repairs from the insurance company. Thou shalt not steal, the 8th commandment tells us. Temptations to break this commandment are all around us. The 8th commandment is breached every time we attempt to claim as our own something that does not belong to us. There was a story in the Christian Century not that long ago about a famous preacher who was invited to speak at a very prominent church. This preacher is so well respected that several volumes of his sermons have been published. But after he preached in this church on this particular Sunday, he was surprised to find that he received an unusually cool reception. He later learned why. It turned out that the previous Sunday, the pastor of that church had preached, word for word, the very same sermon. In the New Testament, we find the story of a man who had his own problems with the 8th commandment. This man was no petty thief. He was a tax collector, and his name was Zacchaeus. He'd made himself wealthy by collecting more taxes than he was legally entitled to, and keeping the difference for himself. Whether it involves cars, car repairs, sermons, or tax revenues, stealing is a serious issue in God's eyes. The 8th commandment is as broad as it is brief. The job of describing specific examples of stealing is left to other passages of Scripture. Leviticus warns about fraud and holding back the wages of a hired hand. Exodus prohibits grazing your flocks on someone else's fields. The book of Job talks about the theft that's involved in moving boundary markers. The book of Micah condemns the use of dishonest scales. The list of ways people can steal is restricted only by the limits of the human imagination. At one level, the 8th commandment is a basic requirement of a civilized society. Communal life would quickly break down if everyone began stealing from everyone else. Laws against stealing are pretty essential if society is going to avoid descending into chaos. God is on the side of order, not chaos. But that's not the only reason he says, "Thou shalt not steal." This commandment is not just about protecting property. It's about protecting people. There's some evidence that in ancient Israel, this commandment was understood to apply primarily to kidnapping. The idea of stealing a person was particularly abhorrent to the Israelites, especially since they'd had the experience of being held in slavery in Egypt. But even when it didn't involve kidnapping or slavery, Stealing was understood by the Israelites to be an attack on the dignity of a person. It was a violation of someone's personal boundaries. To take what belongs to another person is an act of hurtful arrogance. It treats the other person as if they have no value, as if they have no worth, as if they don't exist. It's a crime against them as a human being. I think this is what that police officer was getting at when he expressed such disturbing rage at the thought of someone stealing his stuff. Material things can always be replaced, but again and again, people who have their possessions stolen speak of how they feel personally violated. There's a danger, of course, in clinging too tightly to our possessions. There's a danger in making them more important than they really are. But at the same time, we can't deny the deeply personal nature of the hurt we feel when our boundaries are completely disrespected. One of the first lessons children learn in the sandbox is that there's a difference between what's mine and what's yours. There are children whose very first word is mine. Parents quickly intervene to say, no, you must share. But in reality, the concept of sharing only makes sense if you know the difference between mine and yours. It's only sharing if you give what actually belongs to you. The line between what's yours and what's mine is an important boundary. In fact, healthy human relationships are impossible unless this boundary is respected. This is why God gives us the eighth commandment. The temptation to break this commandment seems to stem from a desire to get something for nothing. Theft is a rejection of our God-given vocation, which is work. It's by working that we earn our daily bread. To steal is to try to make an end run around God's creative purpose for us. It's to take advantage of the work of others, and it's to fail to make use of the talents God has given us for the purpose of providing for ourselves. To steal from your neighbor is to turn against God. It's no coincidence, then, that in the story of Zacchaeus, the first thing Zacchaeus does when he turns to God is give up stealing. He then gives back what he's taken four times over. The eighth commandment is about respect. Respect for your neighbor. Respect for yourself. Respect for God. The need to observe boundaries should not obscure one important fact, however. And that is that these boundaries are not intended to be walls that isolate us from our neighbors. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel were told to respect their neighbors not only by refraining from stealing from them, but also by looking out for them, even to the point of making sure their neighbor's property was safe. In Deuteronomy, it says, "You shall not watch your neighbor's ox or sheep straying away and ignore them. You shall take them back to their owner. If the owner does not reside near you, or you do not know who the owner is, you shall bring it to your own house, and it shall remain with you until the owner claims it. Then you shall return it. You shall do the same with a neighbor's donkey. You shall do the same with a neighbor's garment. And you shall do the same with anything else that your neighbor loses and you find. You may not withhold your help." This is the eighth commandment viewed through the lens of the golden rule. When it comes to other people's possessions, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you extends far beyond refraining from theft. It means you look out for your neighbor, taking back his straying ox or returning his lost coat. In other words, you can't turn a blind eye to your neighbor's loss, especially when what he loses is essential to his well-being and his livelihood. In the late 19th century, a man by the name of Sam Jones became the mayor of Toledo, Ohio. Sam Jones grew up in very poor circumstances, but he went on to become a successful businessman and a quite remarkable politician. What made Sam Jones different was that he attempted to apply the golden rule to everything he did, both in business and public service. As a businessman, he made sure he treated his employees fairly. And as a mayor, he sought to implement policies to help the disadvantaged. This garnered him the nickname Golden Rule Jones. There's a story told about him that's probably apocryphal, but which is entirely consistent with the character of the man. According to the story, as mayor, Golden Rule Jones was also qualified to sit as a judge in the police court. One day, he was on the bench when the police brought in a man who'd been caught stealing groceries. The man was asked how he wanted to plead, and he said, guilty. He offered no excuse for what he'd done, except that he had no money and no job. The mayor said to him, I've got to fine you. You stole not from the community responsible for these conditions, but from a particular man. So I fine you $10. But then the mayor reached into his own pocket, pulled out a bill, and said, here's the money to pay for your fine. Then he picked up his hat and handed it to the bailiff. He said to the people in the court, now I'm going to fine everybody in this courtroom 50 cents, or as much thereof as he happens to have with him, for living in a town where a man has to steal groceries in order to eat. Bailiff, pass the hat through the courtroom and collect the fines and give them to the defendant. The Eighth Commandment tells us not to take from others. But it doesn't just tell us to stop taking. It tells us to start giving. One day a rich young man came to Jesus and said, what must I do to get eternal life? Jesus said, obey the commandments. The man said, which ones? And Jesus said, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The man said, I've kept all of these. Is there something else I need to do? Yes, Jesus said, you need to give. Sell your possessions, give to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven. Alan and Violet Large of Truro, Nova Scotia, were in the news this week. They won the lottery, $11 million in total. But that's not why they were in the news. They were in the news because they took that $11 million and gave it away. They live in a modest home, but they say they've got everything they need, so they've been giving cash to family members, hospitals, churches, and other worthy causes. They've only kept a fraction of the money for themselves in case of a rainy day. If we follow the Eighth Commandment, we'll certainly be careful to respect boundaries. But we'll also reach across those boundaries when we have the opportunity to be generous. We'll love our neighbors as ourselves and do for them as we would have them do for us. Let your attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who was in his very nature God, but did not cling to whatever prerogatives and privileges went along with that. Instead, he made himself nothing. He emptied himself. And becoming like us, he chose the role of a servant instead of a king. What he could have claimed as his, he gave away. He even gave his very life, sharing it unreservedly with us, so that we might live. Each of us, in our own lives and in our own way, has been given this pattern to follow. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we give as Christ has given to us. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to show our gratitude to you by being generous to those around us. Keep us from shutting ourselves off from those in need, and help us to follow Christ's example. We pray in his name. Amen.